Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods here with my son. I can't even say my name today. This is not a good sign. I'm Jackie Woods here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website.
Well, you got my name right.
I know. That's the most important part. So each week, what we try to do is get you acquainted with who you are and those inner energies of your spirit that we call heart qualities. And by getting to know who you are, in that internal essence, you can begin to live from the inside out. It's by letting your heart matter that you'll be able to claim control over your choices and over your creations. If you have signed up for the heart energy of the week to be sent to you, on Saturday morning you will receive it. It will come through your email, and you will have a little saying that goes with it. This week it is inspiration, one of my favorites of all time, then one of my bigger energies of all time. Inspiration is the candle in the darkened room. I like this energy.
Mm-hmm. I can tell.
I do. I really like this energy. and I used that picture when I was meditating. Of course, I'm the one who wrote these in the first place.
Right.
But that's one I like, because what it does, it's more than just a little flickering candle that could go out. Because now, for some people, it is a little flickering candle. They have that moment of inspiration, and then it just kind of flickers out.
Yeah.
But for me, it has that wick that goes all the way down and can just keep burning and burning and burning and burning till you have all of the pieces of an inspiration, until finally it can manifest into the physical. Inspiration is a wonderful, wonderful energy. And I was lucky today in my astrological chart, because my emotional body is working very much in harmony with Neptune, and those two work together well for inspiration. So maybe I can't say my name, but I can bring the energy. Where did you start with yours, Russ?
Well, the first thing that came to me was a story. I got the meditation down later, but last night when I checked our website and, well, checked my email and got the notice from our website that it would be inspiration, immediately a story came to me. And our engineer, Terry, we give her a hard time all the time, but this one is about Terry, and it's a serious story. When we first bought this piece of property that later became our Ottawa-Hee campus, there were, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us that went in together to pool our money and buy this land. And you, as our leader, told us that we needed to meditate together and form a synergy that would anchor healing energy here on this property, since it was going to be a healing center. And none of us had ever done anything like that before, and we were horrible at it. We were a bunch of individuals, you know, quoting the word synergy, but not synergizing at all. And meditation after meditation, not getting anywhere, not anchoring anything. And as we got into it, the story sort of unfolded, and it revealed that a lot of us had been together before in a past lifetime, that it was sort of replaying a lot of what went wrong for us when a lot of us lived together in Atlantis. And I got in touch with my big block from that life, and it was that I didn't stand up for the energy. You know, I would see things going wrong, but wouldn't want to confront people, wouldn't want to rock the boat. I would just do my own thing and pull back into my shell. And this group of ours was not doing very well meditating together. And when we finally got down to it, we had this big meeting where we were trying to, you know, hammer out why we're not getting anywhere. And there was one member of the group who was very negative the whole time, always thinking, well, this is not going to work. You know, I don't know why we want to do this anyway. And Terry, our sound engineer, finally confronted this person and said, you know, I think the reason we can't come together is because of your negativity. And we're going to ask you to step out of the group. And it was very inspiring to me to think, you know, okay, look, this needs to be said. And, you know, of course, we were all worried about upsetting this person because we're going to have to live on the same piece of property with them. And we don't want all the emotional backlash. And plus, you know, who am I? You know, none of us were great meditators. What gives you the right to say, point the finger at you, you're the problem? And to see Terry do that took a lot of courage, and I was incredibly inspired by that courage. And I got up and spoke too. And the person didn't fight us on it, stepped down. The group immediately got better, and within a couple of weeks, we had anchored the energy here on the property. So I owe a debt of inspiration to Terry's courage.
That's very inspirational. Well, the example that came to me when I was meditating, not the story, but the example, is that just last night at our house meeting, I shared how I felt it was time for our community energies around our etheric mission to be stepped up and synergized more. Again, synergized again, which fits in with your story. And for us to do that, we needed to have a new definition, a new structure in place. And everybody at the house meeting was giving me all kinds of ideas, and they were good ideas. But it wasn't that each one wasn't an inspired thought. But there were a whole lot of them, and at some point I said, well, you know, I just have to take these and hold a space for them and see what comes in the middle, where my flame ignites and draws these other lights to it. So that's exactly what I did. And when I meditated this morning, it just became very clear exactly what we needed to do to, again, take the next step towards a bigger synergy, which mm-hmm. we've been doing ever since we've been here. Yeah. We've been learning and taking step by step, and this is another step. And so I happened to have the morning where I didn't have sessions, and that's my writing morning, and that's what I did. I wrote up this new definition, which everybody that's listening that participates in that will soon find out what it is. But that was another piece of inspiration, because just like any energy, when it's there for you, it begins to have magnetic power. Well, in this case, everybody else's inspiration lit my light, my mm-hmm, flame, mm-hmm. and all of these lights sort of made a big blaze together. We all came together, that synergizing of lights, so that it wasn't just a little flicker, but a huge blaze. Using the candle analogy. So that was an example, not a story. I have a story, but that was an example that just was there instantly because I was living it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Having been a part of that last night, it's great to see how that all came together for you.
And you got to read what I wrote. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exactly what happened. Inspiration was already working.
Uh-huh. I usually try and not read the little quote that you've written on the email that goes out before I do my meditation, because they're always so well worded that it's going to just pull my mind there. I'm going to just, you know, sort of rehash that in whatever I meditate on. So I try not to, but this time, unfortunately, I did. I was just flipping through the email, and I said, oh, I wonder what we're doing. Oh, it's inspiration, and I read that. So I was sure that I would meditate on a candle flame and just have, you know, a pale imitation of your meditation. But I didn't. I got a water image, actually, which was sort of the opposite. Although I love your candle flame. That makes a lot of sense to me, especially the way you told how it came together after our little brainstorming session last night, how the flames kind of ignited each other. But mine was a picture of a little puddle of water on a table or at the bottom of a sink or something. And there was a big water source, maybe a faucet or something, that was dripping water into it slowly, you know, just one drop at a time, one drop every minute or so. And I was, you know, either zoomed in with a microscope or I was real close because it seemed huge to me, although I could tell it was just a little puddle. And it was sort of in slow motion, this perfect, clear, smooth, reflective surface of the water that you could see yourself in, that reflected all this light, would be clear right up until the moment that the drop hit it. And then all these ripples would go across it, and the image would dissolve, and it would get all wavy. And then it would gradually clear up again, except this time the puddle would be a little bigger. And that was my image that came to me in my meditation, that each inspiration has to start with clarity. You can't be inspired from a
muddy place,
muddy, cluttered place, that you have to be clear. But as soon as you are clear, this little drop of you know, the essence that makes you up, basically, will come in, and it's gonna expand you. There's gonna be ripples that go through you. It's gonna mess everything up. All your clarity will be gone for a minute, and then it'll come back again, but this time it'll be bigger.
Uh-huh. Yes, the thing about inspiration is that it is something that starts, say, just as that drop of water. And if you get in there and try to start figuring it all out and try to get all the pieces together, then that inspiration doesn't keep dripping or doesn't keep burning, as my picture was. Mm-hmm. You know, letting it burn down until it just merges into the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you were talking about coming up here and building the Healing Center when we moved from Atlanta, it was an inspiration to me that I was supposed to build a healing center.
Right.
But it happened, that one piece of inspiration came several years before we did this. And it came, and then I just held it. I just held it and kept the wick clear and kept it burning. And then pretty soon, you know, another piece would come, another light would come, and it would get a little brighter. And it would be brighter this time, because then I was told, well, you know, it needs to be a community.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will be learning about synergy. And I said, okay, community. I added that piece of inspiration, and then the next piece of inspiration, and along with those one little pieces come, it activates the mind, surely, but mm-hmm. mind can't take over. You have to keep that flame being the inspiration.
Right.
Or the mind could go off on any number of tangents. But it doesn't mean your mind doesn't enter in. And so, you know, then it was like, okay, all right, well, where? That's the next question, where? And I had to just clear myself, because those muddy waters, as you said, trying to figure it out and worrying about it didn't work.
Right.
It was just like, okay. So one morning in meditation, I get the image of what the land should look like, and I get the feeling of what it should feel like. No instructions as where to get it, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
But then that leaves that part of us into faith and trust that we can believe in it and act on it. And so I began looking. And finally, after a good bit of looking, I found this spot. And then when I found the spot where the Healing Center needed to be built, I knew it was right. It fit the inspiration. But then the mind wanted to come in, and the emotions come in, and it was like, oh, but there's no parking here. This is a really bad spot. This won't work.
Right.
And you know, it, all of the stuff wants to get in the way. So all I'm saying in this is that you've got to keep that flame going. You can't blow it out. You can't blow on it. It's not a birthday candle.
Right.
It's a candle that has a strong anchor in your heart, and it that's the wick. But it also can have added to it more fuel or more flames joining with it to make it more candles coming together, to make it more inspiration and make it a bigger flame. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these inspirations were a progression, and we get impatient. So I would think maybe the best energy to work with around inspiration, of course, you need clarity, number one, but number two would be patience.
Yeah, both your image and mine have that sense of it coming to you bit by bit, mm-hmm. instead of one big flash. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. I've always found that to be my path to inspiration, is that you never just get hit by lightning and, whoa, all the mysteries of the universe are revealed to me. It's just a bit comes and you have to take that in and then get clear again, and then another bit comes, and it always comes piecemeal like that.
You know, we always advise CD or a workshop that would support, and, you know, as much as I am psychic, I have never done a CD just on the psychic energy.
Yeah.
That's kind of amazing, but I was looking through them, and the workshop resonating on all levels really stood out to me, because what I talk about in that is taking high-level energies and bringing them into practical real-world expression, mm-hmm. and that's what inspiration is. The inspiration is that candle flame that then draws to it other pieces and other pieces, but it eventually has to burn down and become part of the physical.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And that's why I think resonating on all levels, that workshop would be very supportive in helping people, because a lot of people just want to have all these grand, high, inspired ideas. But if you don't bring it into the physical, it's just a light for a little while and then it burns out. It doesn't meld into the earth and become reality.
Yeah. The one that came to me was our CD on dream interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
that
also a very good way to look at inspiration.
It is. And yes, because inspiration can come as words or thoughts or feelings, but many times it will show up symbolically in your life, and people don't always realize that the symbols that are showing in their life are really inspirations from their heart.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email from Lisa in Little Rock, Arkansas. How do I know if I have a divinely inspired idea? Seems like most of my ideas are just my logic and intelligence. How do I move into inspiration? Very, 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 very good question, Lisa. You want me to start with that, or do you want to?
Go ahead.
Okay. One way you can know if it's divinely inspired, because we do have inspired ideas, does it resonate to the core of you? Is it just something you would emotionally like to have happen, or an idea you think really should be in place and should work? Or those are not inspirations. Those are really fantasies of our emotional and mental bodies. But if we really, really want to get to an inspiration and know it's inspiration, it has to be deep within us. It has to resonate all the way through, that yes, we may be a little bit afraid to act on it, but we know it's right. We may question, like, well, how about the parking?
Uh-huh.
You know, it may have questions, but it still, you know, it's right. It resonates to the core of you.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
But it also helps if you're meditating every day, because your meditations will give you pieces that fit with any inspiration. You won't just get an inspiration and it'll leave you hanging. You'll, and maybe not the next day or the next, but if you're wanting an answer to something, this isn't an inspiration.
No. Yeah. That's that muddy place that you're
mm-hmm.
coming from,
mm-hmm.
when you need something to fix your problem real quick.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if your ideas are logical and intelligent, it doesn't mean you're to throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
But don't confuse them with inspiration. Or if you have to go around and ask everybody their opinion, and finally you get somebody to agree with your emotional decision, and you feel like that they have given you inspiration, kind of throw that out.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
Yeah. I took a lot of languages in college. I figured out that you could duck the math requirements if you had enough language credits.
And so really?
I did that. my college had they didn't have a set curriculum, but they had, you know, sort of one from column A, two from column B. You had to have picked from several different categories. But the category that contained math also contained languages. So I took a lot of foreign languages.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I thought you took, like the Russian teacher, so then you took Hungarian because he taught it. I didn't know it was you were ducking math.
Well, you know, it was a dual benefit.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the classes. But I was definitely glad to get away from the math. And I never took Latin per se, but, you know, the more languages you take, the more Latin you pick up because it's a root of a lot of things. And the Latin breakdown on inspiration literally means that you breathe in spirit, breathe in divinity, breathe in God, mm-hmm. is how it would translate. And I've always found that in a situation like where I talked about, where Terry's courage inspired me, if you're truly to be inspired by a person or a place or a performance or a book you read or whatever, what you're really doing is breathing in some divine part of that person or those people. And it's not going to come across in you the way it would in them. It's just triggering something inside of you. It's their spirit. You breathe in their spirit, and it sort of awakens your spirit.
It flames the little fire.
Uh-huh. That you will find yourself bigger. You know, I got up and spoke and, you know, didn't care whether I was upsetting this person, whether we would all pay the price for their, you know, emotional backlash. Things that I had been afraid to do even before that moment, suddenly I was able to overcome them because I actually felt like a bigger person. And to me, that's the thing. If you have great ideas, or if you have a very logical way to approach this, and you say, is that inspiration? Well, do you feel bigger than you did yesterday? And if you don't, then it's probably just a good idea. Mm-hmm. But if you do, then yeah, maybe that's mm-hmm. inspiration that you took in from a book or, you know, just the ethers, whatever. It came to you, and then you reformulated it, and you brought a bigger piece of your spirit out because of something divine in your world.
And you know, Russell, we talk about synergy all the time because it's so important to get to this next dimension that we're trying to, this next vibration we all want to be a part of. You cannot synergize without letting your energy merge and touch and become one with another person, mm-hmm. which even though there may not be a word said, and we can't just think of inspiration as being divine words, you know, it's divine energy.
Right.
It's that breath of God that we are touching their energy. And if we're just doing it singularly, it doesn't work. But if we're letting them in, then we are inspiring each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you have a group of people that come together that are committed to a certain task, then just their commitment resonating with each other is an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's easier to do things in group,
mm-hmm.
where that commitment is present.
Yes, that's a great point.
We have another email from Bill of Orlando. I like inspiration because quite often I get depressed, and if someone in the room is more positive, I feel better. Should I be able to pull myself out of the sadness myself, or is it okay that I rely on others? Do you want to take that one first, Russell?
Sure. The first year, in fact, the first week of college, I attended this freshman seminar, they called it, which was basically a bunch of professors trying to sell you on their department because you were all undecided on what major you should have. And so they would all get up and give their little speech about why psychology is important, why anthropology is important, blah, blah, blah. And there was a new professor. He was just an assistant professor that was had not gotten tenure yet. He was visiting from another school hoping to get a job there. And he got up and talked about the classics department, which was very small at that point. I think it's grown since then. But it was a new thing at the college that I went to. And he was very passionate about it. And I was inspired by his passion. And I took pretty much everything that he offered while he was there, so much so that when I graduated, I could have had a minor in classic literature, but I didn't want to, you know, do the research paper necessary to get that officially on my transcript. But I took a lot of classics courses. And the theme, as this guy, Professor Golder, as he described it, of most Greek literature, whether it's the, you know, tragic plays or the epic poems or whatever, the theme of it is man overcoming his hubris. And hubris is a Greek word. Basically, it means you've gotten too big for your britches. But
I'm glad you went to college to learn that.
The longer definition of it, and the way he described it that I think was so great, was it's when man gets to the point where he no longer believes he needs to be inspired by the divine.
Oh, wow.
That he thinks his own inspiration is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying theme of all these tragedies is, if you get to that point, you're going down, buddy.
Yeah. That is so powerful.
And so to answer Bill's question, I think it's perfectly okay to be inspired by that which is bigger than you. That if you think you have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, that you may be a victim of hubris.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to add anything to that, Russell. It really is. But the point is that we do rely on others. But there's a difference in opening ourselves to rely on their spirit, mm-hmm. or just needing them to take care of us.
Right.
There is a huge difference in the two parts of that. So, you know, if we're needing someone to take care of you, then you're not opening to their spirit. Opening to their spirit is not only inspirational energetically, and sometimes it is on emotionally, mentally, or physically, but it is also synergistic.
Yes.
I want to take time for one of our sponsors. This is the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat that you can find online if you want information about it at ottawahee.com. It's ADAWEHI, ottawahee.com. It's a place where you can go and not only get away from it all, but you can come and have a healthy retreat. You'll go home feeling better than you did when you left instead of more exhausted. Many vacations, you go home excited about what you've done, but very tired. The Ottawahee Wellness Retreat offers the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. This is truly where retreat becomes renewal. This is the place where you can come visit us. We would love to meet you. So check us out on ottawahee.com. Come spend a week, 2 weeks, or a weekend. We would love to have your company. There's an email from Melinda in Athens, Ohio. Melinda says that she loves the show. My picture this morning was a blank wall and a lot of framed art to be hung. Inspiration was what helped me hang them all up, weave them together so that all the different shapes, colors, and mediums came together into one piece. Yeah, that's like I said about your candle flame coming and being patient for all the different pieces to come together.
Mm-hmm.
it's not that you can't have a big inspiration that shows it all, but from my experience, my inspirations have seemed huge. Like telling me I was to build a healing center was huge, but there were a lot of pieces to it that came piece by piece by piece. And like what I wrote this morning, I think is a powerful manuscript of how we're going to really do our etheric work mission more powerfully. But everybody else's piece was part of breathing their fire of spirit into me and it all coming together and coalescing into this manuscript.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the thing that jumps out at me from all of that is whenever you get a piece of inspiration, don't just say, oh, I'm inspired and stop there, because it almost always comes in a series. You know, if you get one piece, be on the lookout for the next one, because one will lead to another and they just sort of build on each other.
Since inspiration is that breath of spirit that we not only are taking into ourselves, but since we are now synergizing with each other, that comes from others and from nature and all that contains that creative force, I think it's really important that we recognize the importance of the pieces of inspiration that you're talking about, that even if we have a inspiration that we can act on right now,
right,
that it could be bigger.
Right, exactly.
I got an email this week through our website from a woman that used to be a student of mine when I was teaching in Atlanta, Gail McKay. And some of you that are students from here or students from Atlanta may have remembered Kay. And I was very glad to hear from her. She says, just want to say thank you. I'm enjoying and learning again from you. I have been listening for a while on the archived radio, and I am revisiting your teaching with great appreciation, Gail. That was very nice. Thank you, Gail. I really was pleased to hear from you. We have an email from Elizabeth in Troy, Michigan. Seems like inspiration needs to be shared. Is that true of all heart energies? I'll start with that one. It is true. If you meditate and you get your picture and you really take baby steps to bring that into your life, that piece of your inspiration becomes, and every meditation should be an inspiration. It should be the breath of God and spirit coming into you. And if you bring that into your life, and that's why we talk about baby steps, if you bring that into your life, then it becomes real to you. But if you have the breath of spirit coming in from a lot of people, it breathes that life or that creative force into your piece of inspiration, into your heart energy, into whatever piece of your spirit you have. And in by that very sharing, you grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
You not only contribute more to the planet, but you become more. Do you want to add to that, Russell?
When I was in college, you know, I'm the kind of person that I like to, if I can, do whatever's on my plate, get it out of the way, and have the rest of the day or the week or the whatever free. You know, I don't like to put things off and just have them hanging over my head. But in college, there were certain things that you couldn't do immediately. Like you would be assigned a term paper that A, had to cover all the material that was going to be taught to you that trimester, and B, had to be like 40 pages. So you can't just whip that out in a weekend. You got to wait and do it as you go along, and, you know, it can't be done until the end of the trimester, basically. So it just kind of hangs over your head the whole time, and I hated that. I felt trapped by it, and, you know, whenever I got a free moment, instead of being able to relax, I'd fret over that term paper. You know, have I done enough? Do I have my research together? How much time do I have left? Am I going to finish it? You know, it would just eat at me. And there was a little park that I would go to It's in downtown Atlanta in the Midtown area, and there's many of these little parks because those in-town neighborhoods, they each used to have their own sort of pocket park where all the kids in the neighborhood would go. And I forget the name of this one, but it is in the Midtown area, and it's in sort of a little valley. There's big mansion houses on either side, and a street runs through the middle, and the street splits in two and then joins back at the end. So there's sort of a little island of a park in the middle of that street. It's very long and thin, and you can see it from every house in the neighborhood. So the mothers in that area would send their kids down to the park to play on the swings and, you know, dig in the sandbox, because you could stay at home and watch your kid in the park. You know, you don't have to be there with him, and he's visible from everywhere, and it's a very secure location. So the park had over the years built up this real sense of freedom. The kids felt free to run around, and also it had sort of a peacefulness about it, you know, because there weren't parents just hovering over the kids wondering if they were going to fall and skin their knee. You know, they were all at home, and they'd just look out the window every once in a while and go, oh, Junior's fine. And so there was a great energy in this park that had built up over the years. And I would go late at night. I didn't want to do this during the day when people could see me, but I'd go late at night and I'd swing on the swings. You know, 21-year-old college kid swinging on the swings in this park. But I got a great sense of freedom and peacefulness that came over me there. It was just a collection of all the people that had empowered that energy through the years in that park. And it helped me get through my term papers and my exams. And one year, I finished my exams early, and I turned everything in. And I went to that park to sort of detox and relax and take in all that good energy. And then I went back to the library because I had to work that night. I worked at the library, and it was a madhouse of activity. You know, it was exams week. People were studying like crazy, scribbling down notes for their term papers. The energy was just frenetic in the main research room of the library, with tables everywhere and, you know, encyclopedias and all this. And I didn't have to be on duty for a while. So I just, in my peaceful, you know, state of freedom and relaxation, I went and sat down at one of the tables. And there was nobody around me. When I sat down, it was an empty table. In fact, the couple of tables around it were also empty. And I just kind of sat there and wasn't doing anything, just being in that energy. And by the time I left 30 minutes later, every chair at the table that I was sitting at was full. People had just been attracted to me like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was not that the library was packed. It was some of the other tables were now empty. They had just moved over mm-hmm. unconsciously to where I was sitting. And I thought that was a great example of that idea that you can just be that energy and inspire, touch people with the energy that you're being, whether they know it or not.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about that silent inspiration, mm-hmm. that energetic one, because, of course, inspiration does come from that deep inner and spiritual part of ourselves. But then we do have the inspiration that activates our mind, that's not just silent, that actually has activity in our mind and in our feelings. And the feeling of inspiration, to me, is sort of what you described in that freedom. It's that uplifting, free feeling that is just unbelievably good. In those moments of inspiration, I forget the not good part is that I forget that I need to watch my body strength and not overtire,
uh-huh,
because
uh-huh.
it's so energizing that emotionally and mentally that I could override my physical body,
uh-huh.
Because it's potent. It's very potent. So, you know, for the person who asks, well, how do I know if it's just an idea that's a good one? That's another way to know,
mm-hmm.
because that feeling is not just I'm excited because this might work. it's that uplifting feeling in the mind and in your emotions that really just makes you want to take action.
Mm-hmm.
We have another a sponsor. This is bountifulbuys.com. And since you all are listening to an online radio show, you obviously have computers and you can access these.
Or friends with computers.
Yes, or friends. So go green online. Reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. Bountifulbuys.com has clothes, accessories, gifts, and books that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. That's bountifulbuys.com. We have an email from Tammy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Is inspiration only applicable for major life-changing huge projects, or is this a hard energy for us to call upon when we encounter simple, everyday, difficult situations with kids, work, spouse, etc.? Good question, Tammy. I'm going to start with that. You know, as I said earlier, it's all too often that we try to meditate and get an inspiration to answer a question or solve a problem. It's not that inspiration can't come that way, but in those moments, usually it's your mind or emotions that get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
This infusion of spirit that brings with it its wisdom and its truth is a very pure source, but it should be there every day. It should guide you in the simple everyday things. It should give you that wisdom. It should give you that insight, that clarity, all the pieces that inspiration brings.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is a heart energy, and you can call on it. It's not just I have to wait and hope.
Yeah.
You can call on it just as you can any heart energy. You can meditate on it. And it would be much better to meditate on inspiration than to meditate on the problem and hope you get an answer.
Yeah. Usually all that does is show you all the possible permutations of that problem.
That's right.
Well, you know, meditation in and of itself is sort of an inspiration. It's breathing in that spirit piece. So, you know, we always try and give people a baby step, a simple way that they can get in touch with this energy. And the first thing that came to me was, well, you know, meditate. Meditate's a great...
That was the very first one I had under my baby steps, too.
Great way to get in touch with inspiration. But then I decided to refine it to a walking meditation, because getting out and walking in nature, going through the woods or just down the street and looking at the trees and hearing the birds...
Or that, swinging in a park.
Yeah. That sort of thing always... inspires me more. Nature is a big source of things that spark pieces of me. And I was walking to work this morning, and a snake was across my path. It was about 3 foot long. It was a big snake.
What color?
It was brown and white. I think it was a corn snake. It didn't have the triangular head like a copperhead, but it was, you know, not the safe little
black
snakes that I've come to know. So it gave me a moment of pause. And, you know, snakes for me I've hated snakes since I was a kid. I was always afraid of them. So they've been a symbol of fear. But since we've moved to the country and I've spent hundreds of dollars getting the wiring in my car replaced when all the rodents chew on them, anything that eats rodents is now a friend of mine. And so I've revised my opinion of snakes. I'm still cautious with them, but I've grudgingly allowed that they are a good thing and that they have a place in nature. And so as a symbol, snakes have now started to represent to me something that you might initially judge, but underneath it all is a boon to you. So when I saw that snake, that's what came to me. And I was inspired to look beyond my judgments that day. And sure enough, I came across two or three situations already today where I initially wanted to go into, oh, this is bad, what do I do about it? You know, this person is upset or this situation is no good, and I wanted to judge it, and I said, nope, remember the snake. And I just called on that acceptance, and sure enough, it turns out it was actually a positive thing and not a problem at all. And nature inspires me a lot that way. It'll just send me little messages, and if I'm willing to breathe in the energy that that represents, it'll carry me through the day.
Mm-hmm. I like how we're bringing up different concepts around inspiration, not just, oh, I have this wonderful new truth that came to me. But I do want to tell a thing that happened to me years and years ago. I had gone through an initiation, a spiritual initiation, and it was a step-by-step inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was told where to go. I was told first, and not told why, and then I was told why, and then I was told the details, piece by piece by piece, so that the inspiration was that unfolding. And the inspiration, and this took place in nature.
Mm-hmm.
It was a place in Canada, and it took place in nature. And, you know, it was one of those things where the unfolding of it, as you said, nature is in itself inspiring, but this particular spot in nature was very touristy, and I thought, well, this can't possibly be a spiritual inspired place.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they told me, well, as long as you stay within these boundaries, there will be no tourists, there will be no mosquitoes, there will be nothing. This will be your boundary space. So I'm telling that story because I think that if we're really staying in tune with the inspiration of our spirit that's constantly giving us wisdom and new truths, if we're staying in tune with that inspiration, and to answer Tammy's, was it Tammy? No, it was, who was it? Who was it we were just talking to that had the everyday encounters? Yes, it was Tammy. So, you know, that inspiration set boundaries. The very spirit of that initiation had boundaries, but what I've come to see is that each inspiration I has boundaries. If it needs to have those boundaries expanded, then more inspirations mm-hmm, come mm-hmm. from nature, from others, from yourself, and expand the boundaries, but it's staying within those boundaries of the inspiration that makes our life an inspiration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like the way that you brought that piece in, that every inspiration is a little world unto its own. That if you try and take that and cram it into what you already know, then you're just erasing the boundary of it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what it is and let it build upon itself.
Yes, and keep expanding its boundaries rather than getting fixated on that one inspiration, because inspiration is a synergistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email from CK. It says, knowing Jackie and her community inspires me to be a better person each day. Thank you. Thank you very much, CK. Thank you very, very, very much. This is from Brad in Atlanta, Georgia. I remember Russ's story about when his car broke down late at night and how he inspired his friends to fight on and not give up. I think that show was about enthusiasm. Seems like these two heart energies go together well. Well, yes and no for me. Enthusiasm is something that really bubbles over and sort of pushes me forward. It's a motivator.
Uh-huh.
Where inspiration more lifts me up in the feeling. It elevates me. It makes me feel bigger, but not a driver so much, because then I add to that the patience to allow inspiration to expand the boundaries rather than me have the enthusiasm to push it out. Now, Brad, I do want to say that everybody has different feelings around each energy, and those are just mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the distinction you made. You know, each energy does have its own flavors. But I also like the point that email brings out, that we think of inspiration so often as that mental flash where you get clarity, you get a new idea. But you can be inspired emotionally. You can be inspired physically. You can be inspired spiritually. It's not always just a mental thing. And I think that enthusiasm being a you know, sort of emotional thing where your emotional body gets pumped up and bubbly points out that, yes, inspiration can be an emotional thing too.
Yes, it can. We have an email from Teresa in Asheville. I kind of think inspiration is when I get to a place where what is happening is way beyond what my little mind could have conjured up. It's uncomfortable yet exciting all at once. Thank you, Teresa, for sharing that. I think that that's a good picture of inspiration. She says she gets to a place where what is happening is way beyond what her little mind could have conjured up. In other words, it does take you out of your box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Inspiration does.
And my second baby step for the day would be very close to that. I would suggest to anybody looking to get a little taste of inspiration, take our online classes, check out our CDs, you know, browse around our website. We have hundreds of growth resources. We have some prepackaged courses where you can just listen to some material and take a test on it and get certified for a lot of continuing education requirements. And we have lengthier online classes where you get to interact with other students through these message boards, and there's a moderator and there's reading materials, and all the students, and I do a lot of the moderating on those online classes, all the students, time and time again at the end of each course when they have to fill out the evaluation, just say that they were inspired by things they never could have imagined. You know, it takes them instantly outside of their box. It puts them in touch with other people on a growth path, and so many people feel like, you know, they're crazy. They're the only one that cares about this stuff in their life. They're surrounded by people that just want to keep life the same, that don't want to change. And then they take one of these courses and they find all these other people scattered throughout the country that they're interacting with through the computer, and it blows their world wide open.
I think that's, people need to be aware that what we offer is for the purpose of inspiration. That's our mission. That's what we're trying to do. I have an email from Tina in Wilmington, North Carolina. Where is your community and how can I find out more about it? Our community, Tina, is in Columbus, North Carolina, at the foothill of the Smoky Mountains. So it's just beautiful. We have wonderful weather and we have wonderful scenery, and the energy here at this center where we are and where we invite you to come visit is just incredible. So you not only have the beauty that surrounds you, you have the inspiration that surrounds you also.
And if you'd like to see some of our campus and sort of take a virtual tour before you come here, you can do that through our website, ottawahee.com. Our two websites. We have JackieWoods.org, which lists a lot of the CDs and the growth resources that we've talked about. And then there's another website devoted pretty much just to our on-site facility here, all the healers and all the services we offer, and that's ottawahee.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are, for any of you people out there that are wanting to relocate, we are building, we are constantly building because people come and they want to be part of a community that's about growing spiritually, that's about health and being healthy and living a healthy lifestyle, and about being around people where they're sharing their spirit and inspiration is a way of life. And so we are building two new houses right now so that we can have more housing available. There, we build beautiful places, and these are places not to buy but to rent. The two we're building now have or one bath, two bedroom, but they have a huge, big common room with a living, dining room, kitchen with a fireplace. Very, very cozy, beautiful little homes. And these are available, will be available in about 3 months. Right now we have a condominium coming open, one half of a condo. It's a two-unit condo. We have openings at various times, so you may need to get on our waiting list if you're interested. So be sure and contact us, and you can always email us through the JackieWoods.org website, because living in community means living in inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only beautiful here in nature with walking trails and a creek and beautiful flowers and trees and 126 acres of beauty, but the energies of the people are inspiration. The intent of the people is to grow and to live healthy in their physical bodies, their emotional, their mental, and their spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know if you're interested, and we'll put you on our waiting list, because we do keep building, but only as we need to build.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know. That's JackieWoods.org. Just email us, and I'll get it. Did you have any closing thoughts, Russell, that you wanted to add?
I love the way that our two meditation pictures were different, but yet emphasized a lot of the same points. Your candle flame, I loved that idea of one flame igniting another. And I liked the piece of my little puddle of water having to be clear before you could be inspired, and then changes come in, and then you get clear again, and you're bigger. I liked those two pieces of igniting other people and getting drop by drop a new piece of inspiration. Mm-hmm. They fit together perfectly for me, and yet they came from two different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for joining us, and remember that we have the archive shows that you can listen to. We want to remind you that the resource we recommended this time was resonating on all levels. It's a workshop. That's five CDs, and you can take it piece at a time. It's something that you'll want to digest a little bit at a time. Resonating on all levels. Is the workshop that is on the website you might want to check out to help you to grow this energy of inspiration. By letting your heart matter every single day, you can not only be an inspiration, but you will receive inspiration. It is by living from the inside out that you can claim control over your choices and your creation. Thank you for joining us, and we will be with you again next Monday at 3.